It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Happy Sunday, everybody. We made it to another Sunday morning. You know what that means. It is time for the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, right here on 104.5 The Team, that free 104.5 The Team app. It's a beautiful Sunday, not a cloud in the sky. I was able to wear a t-shirt today. No jacket needed, no hoodie. Nice, beautiful weather. Got to make the most of it. We're getting to that point in the year where we're going to miss this nice sunny weather. Once it's, you know, 30 degrees out and that's warm for us this winter. We know how New York weather can be. I haven't checked the weather for the week, but I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow there's going to be a high of maybe 60. Because that's just how it works here. But got to enjoy it while it's here. And I hope everybody out there is having a better Sunday morning than me. Thank you for tuning in. But it was a horrible, horrible morning getting out of bed today.
This today is one of the worst days that I've had in a long time. I'm not in the mood to play with anybody.
I'm in no mood to play with anybody. I'll tell you what happened. I was getting out of bed, getting ready to head over here to the studios around, you know, 9:30, 9:45. And I stubbed my toe so badly on my bed frame. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it to work. I'm clearly being sarcastic, but really, I limped my way to the car, felt the throbbing pain driving down the Northway, heading on to Central Ave, and I get to the studio, and it's still bothering me a little bit. I'm walking around, you know, and I take off my shoe, I slide off my Hey Dude, and I look at my sock, and there's a little blood stain. So I haven't taken a look at what my mangled, damaged toe looks like on my left foot, but I know that it's busted open, and it's leaking. There's just a tiny little bit of blood on my sock. So I'm going to have to deal with that for the rest of the week. Going to need to put a Band-Aid on it once I get home. But we're powering through because nothing was going to stop me from getting in here today and getting on air and talking to all you beautiful people out there tuning into the Hot Seat. So we made it. We're here and we're going to power through. And we're going to do things the way we always do on Sunday mornings. I'm going to recap the week around the MLB, going around the diamond, the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox. We'll see how those playoff races are looking. Some pretty good, not so good for some others. It's week two in the NFL season, so we'll dive into the matchups. I'll let you know how my predictions went from last week. Spoiler alert, not very good. I got quite a few games wrong. We'll dive into the hottest headlines of the week around 11:30, like we always do. And of course, maybe talk a little fantasy football. Because I need help. I need the most help possible when it comes to fantasy football. My draft was not the way I expected. Did not get a lot of players I wanted. And we're going into week two down a game. We're 0-1. We got a tough matchup. And I need help. Because I don't know what I'm doing, apparently. I thought I did last season. Came in second. Just narrowly lost the championship by like 50 points. Because nobody on my team showed up that week. But hey, we made it. And now it's only week two. Okay, it's still early, but I'm not feeling very confident about the fantasy lineup I'm rolling with this season. So maybe there will be a trade in the future. We'll have to see. I'll keep you guys updated with that because I'm sure everybody listening cares about how my fantasy team is doing. I hope all your fantasy teams are doing good. Hoping that you guys have a better lineup than me. Hoping you have better running backs than me as I'm currently starting Derrick Henry and Justice Hill, both running backs for the Baltimore Ravens. So I guess we'll see if that works in my favor. Probably won't. But alas, we continue here on this Sunday morning. Thanks again for tuning in to the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks. We'll dive into the MLB here as the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox had very busy weeks. Yankees actually facing the Red Sox right now. They are in game four of a four-game series. First pitch is going to be around 1:35. Be sure to tune in right here on 104.5 The Team where you can listen to pregame, postgame, hear it all called by Susan Waldman, Manuel Barbari, the whole crew over there. And it's been a pretty good week for the Yankees thus far. Only three losses since last Sunday. The last three wins they had on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday all came in ridiculous fashion. I saw somebody saying, you know, you have two straight walk-off wins, one against the Royals with that Jazz Chisholm ground ball and barely making it home was John Birdie. And then against the Red Sox, Juan Soto gets his first walk-off as a New York Yankee, narrowly defeating them in the 10th, 2-1, as he had that RBI double. And then you're down 4-1 to the Red Sox, and Aaron Judge, who hadn't hit a home run since his Paw Patrol episode came out, 70-plus plate appearances without a home run, the longest stretch of his career, he breaks that streak in the grandest fashion possible. And I hope you keyed in on the word choice there. Grandest fashion possible with a grand slam to put the Yankees up 5-4 in that one. And then it was Luke Weaver who came on to get the 6-out save. And I tell you what, I think the Yankees, I'm not going to guarantee, but there's a chance, a small chance that the Yankees may have found their closer for the playoffs in Luke Weaver. This guy is an absolute psychopath on the mound, and I love it. This guy is, he had 5 strikeouts and his 6 outs against Boston just Saturday or Friday night. And after the game was over, when he got that last strikeout, he is screaming at the top of his lungs. He's all hyped up. And this dude just looks like an absolute psycho on the mound. It looks like he blacked out for 2 innings. And that's how he was pitching. And that's exactly what you need in those intense situations. You need a psycho on the mound that isn't afraid and is going to power the ball right past the hitter and come right at them. 5 strikeouts in 6 outs. Clay Holmes wasn't getting you that. And credit to Clay Holmes, because he did pitch well in the 9th in that Boston game, tie game. And he was able to get it done. You know, they put him out there in a position where it's not necessarily what he's used to. Well, I shouldn't say that. He has been in those situations before, but he isn't used to completing those saves. I mean, he leads the league in blown saves. But he was able to get a good outing this past weekend in the Boston series, and maybe he's finding his groove back, and maybe he will be good as a setup reliever or a long reliever. And this bullpen that everybody's been saying is their weak point, me included, I've been saying it's their weakest link this entire season, they're starting to get a little bit of ground here. I mean, Tim Hill has pitched phenomenal since coming over from the White Sox. Luke Weaver, like I mentioned, might be your closer in the playoffs. Now you're adding Marcus Stroman to the bullpen. And I say you want psychopaths in your bullpen that will absolutely come out firing on all cylinders, complete aggression. And Marcus Stroman is one of those guys that can kind of pitch like a psychopath sometimes. And I use the term psychopath loosely because in this sense, it's a compliment. They're playing aggressive baseball and they're firing the ball right in the zone. They're not afraid of whether it gets hit because they have faith in their outfield, in their infield. And it looks like this Yankees bullpen is starting to figure some things out. Now, yesterday, not a great game as Gerrit Cole got absolutely shelled after, for whatever reason, deciding to intentionally walk Rafael Devers with nobody on base and one out. That led to a 3-run inning for the Red Sox. The Sox ended up taking last night's game 7-1 in what was really just all Red Sox. It was tight early on, but as soon as Gerrit Cole decided to intentionally walk Devers, it was like everything just fell apart. So the Red Sox played a great game. But speaking of those Red Sox, things are not looking very good for them in the wild card standings. You know, we look at the wild card standings here. Obviously, whoever comes in second in the AL East is going to be your first wild card team, whether that be the Yankees, who are up 2 on the Orioles, or if it is Baltimore. Either way, that team's going to get the first wild card spot. And it's looking like the Royals are going to get that second wild card spot as they're currently up 3.5 on the Twins, who sit in that third spot, the last wild card team. And then you got the Tigers and the Mariners, who snuck their way right in and are only 2.5 back from the Twins. Red Sox currently sit 3.5 back. So now when you look at this maybe a week ago, it was strictly Red Sox fighting with the Twins and the Royals trying to gain ground. All of a sudden, the Tigers and the Mariners came out of nowhere. as they were about 5-6 games back, few back from the Red Sox, and now all of a sudden they take the lead. And if any team is going to get that third wild card spot away from the Twins, you would think it'd be the Tigers or the Mariners. So the Red Sox, not in great shape, but there's still plenty of season left. Season doesn't end for the end of the month, so they still got another 2 weeks, and there's a lot of baseball to be played within those 2 weeks. So if the Red Sox get hot at the right time, you never know. But I joked very much throughout the season that the Red Sox were going to finish 81-81 because they always hovered right around 500. They'd go on a streak where they'd win a few games and then lose a couple, then win one and then lose a couple, win two, lose one. They couldn't seem to get any winning streaks going. All of a sudden, around the halfway point of the season, they were 10 games above 500. You thought, oh, maybe this Red Sox team is legit. Maybe they are a legitimate wild card contender. And they're still in contention, sitting at 75-74 right now, but they're going to have to clutch up over these last couple weeks if they want any hope at catching up to the Tigers, the Mariners, and especially the Minnesota Twins and taking that last wild card spot. Moving over to the New York Mets, who in a similar situation are looking a little bit better though. They're playing game three against the Phillies today, 135. It's going to be David Peterson on the mound for the Mets going up against Christopher Sanchez of the Phillies. And that series is currently split 1-1. And the Phillies are one of the best teams in the National League. So the fact that the Mets might go into this game at Philadelphia, mind you, and win this series. Now, keep in mind, they have a 4-game series at home against Philadelphia starting this upcoming week, starting on Thursday. Then before that, they go to Washington and face the Nationals. They might have a lot of momentum going into the end of the season here. And the biggest series for them is their second to last series on the road at Atlanta, as Atlanta is currently the only team that's really fighting with them for the last wildcard spot. You look at the National League wildcard race, you got the Padres sitting 2.5 up on the Mets, Diamondbacks only 1 game up, and the Mets and the Braves currently tied at 81-67 apiece. After that, the Cubs are 6 games back, Cardinals 7 games back. A lot of these teams don't really have any shot. Anything can happen, sure. I'm not going to say that they're eliminated, but realistically, if you're a betting man, I would not bet on the Cubs or the Cardinals, who are 6-7 games back in the wild card to make the playoffs. But out of these four teams, the Padres, Diamondbacks, Mets, and Braves, 3 of those 4 are going to be in the playoffs. Padres aren't even a guarantee. They're only 2.5 games up. And I mentioned that Mets-Braves series might be the series that decides who gets that last wild card spot if the Padres and the Diamondbacks are still in the lead. So a lot of critical baseball coming up. You got the Yankees, who play the Orioles, their second to last series. That could be for the division. The Mets, they got the Braves to end the season right before they take on the Milwaukee Brewers, who are currently leading the NL Central. So that might be a tough series. So if they can get themselves a decent cushion in that Braves series, maybe they lose a couple to Milwaukee and it's A-OK. So we'll see. We'll keep you up to date with these wild card races as we get down to the wire, as October is fastly approaching. It's already September 15th. We're already halfway through the month. There isn't much time left to gain ground, but there is still a lot of baseball to be played within those last 2 weeks. And speaking of gaining ground, God, the Chicago White Sox are 34-115. That is awful. I saw something the other day that the White Sox need to go 9-5 to end their season in order to avoid having the most losses in a regular season in the common baseball era. The Chicago White Sox, since June 30th, are 9-54, or 9-50, around there. They have 9 wins total since June 30th. It is September 15th. We're talking almost 3 months of baseball, and they have 9 wins. And I just saw the other day the Chicago White Sox general manager, the name is escaping me, but he went on to say, you know, we're not going to go crazy in free agency. We like what we have here. Really?
Stop the cap. Stop the cap right now. Stop the cap.
Are you kidding me? You like what you have sitting at 34-115. Goodness, the Chicago White Sox are really just an embarrassment to baseball this season. And it's peculiar because this team wasn't that bad a few years back. You know, Tim Anderson, Luis Robert, they had a pretty solid team. They made the playoffs not that long ago. And here they are as the very clear worst team in the major league, potentially the worst team in baseball history. All right, when we come back, we're going to dive into college football, the NFL, what's going on this weekend, what happened last night. There's a few good games in college football around the scene, and we'll let you know what my predictions are for this NFL Sunday, week two. Stay with us. More of the Hot Seat coming up next on 104.5 The Team, the free 104.5 The Team app. Vinny Fredericks here from the Hot Seat, letting you know to download the free, that's right, the free 104.5 The Team app on the App Store today to be up to date with when our shows are going on, when the Hot Seat is happening every Sunday morning, and when the rest of our programming updates come out, as you will be able to listen to our shows live from your phone anytime you want. So be sure to go to the App Store, download the free 104.5 The Team app today.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
We are back here with a little bit of Danger Zone on the Hot Seat. With your host, Vinny Fredericks. I tell you what, this song just makes me want to go watch Top Gun. It's all I can think about anytime I hear this song. Immediately, I'm thinking, I got to go watch Top Gun. But that might be what I end up doing this Sunday night after football is over. We'll see. Anyways, I mentioned Sunday night football because, of course, we're diving into all things football here as it's a busy weekend. Every weekend in this time of year is going to be busy with college football on Saturdays, NFL football all day on Sunday. Be sure to tune in throughout the season as we will be carrying Bills games either on 104.5 The Team or on 103.9 Zoe. And we'll have that all season long. I was in here just this past Thursday night pushing the buttons for this latest Bills game in what was an absolute dominating performance over the Miami Dolphins. We'll get to that in just a second. First, last week, I did better than I thought at my predictions. I'm looking back at the games. If my memory is serving right, I always like to think that I picked the winning team. But there's two games where I know for a fact I was wrong. And I think I'm with 99% of all other football fans in being wrong in predicting the Bengals would beat the Patriots. That was a shell shock. And I don't know what got into me. But for some reason, I thought the Giants would be able to beat the Vikings. I don't know what I was thinking. I figured, you know, Sam Darnold isn't the best quarterback out there. Even Daniel Jones surely has to outperform him, right? Nope. Nope. I was very wrong. Daniel Jones.
This man was a bona fide scrub. He can't play.
There's not really much to defend there with Daniel Jones. Just a terrible, terrible game. What I will say is there was a little bit of extra action going on post game, you know, like the fans waiting by the walkway, specifically waiting for Daniel Jones to come out after the game so they could heckle and boo him. It's not that deep. You know, it's a football game. It's only week one. You've literally only played one game and you're going to wait after the game in the parking lot for Daniel Jones to walk out so you can heckle him and burn his jersey. Seems a little extra to me, but I understand people are passionate about their teams. They want to see their teams win, but that's just a little bit too far, I would say. But alas, we move on. It is week two. We'll go through the games here. I'll give you my predictions. We'll just rattle them off. Saints Cowboys, you know I'm going with my Cowboys every single week. I can't pick against my team. They played very well last week. Of course, I ended up facing the Cowboys defense and special teams in fantasy. Got absolutely smoked. And Brandon Aubrey got absolutely smoked. I knew I should have drafted them. I don't know why I didn't. I had the opportunity to pick both of them. I was the first person to pick a kicker and a defense in my league. And for whatever reason, I went with the fantasy app rankings instead of going with my gut. So I guess if you're if for whatever reason you haven't started fantasy football, or if you're going to do it next year, just always go with your gut. Okay, don't go by the rankings. It helps. The rankings are there to help you, but you always got to go with your gut. You might feel a little biased, but it worked out for me last year. Went with Cowboys defense. They were the number one defense in fantasy last season. And here I am, just thinking back to draft night, wondering where the heck it all went wrong. Moving on, more of the 1 o'clock games. Buccaneers, Lions. Lions all day. They're probably the best team in the NFC. I'm going Lions most weeks. Colts, Packers. This is a real toss-up because obviously Malik Willis is the starting quarterback now for Green Bay after Jordan Love went down with a knee injury against the Eagles. I liked the way the Colts played last week against the Texans, narrowly lost in that one. I'm going to go Colts here. Love Anthony Richardson. You guys know I love my Florida Gators. And I mean, the Packers without Jordan Love, I guess we'll see. We only saw one play of Malik Willis last week, and it wasn't a good one on that Hail Mary attempt where he didn't even get the ball out. So we'll see, but not a lot of confidence in the Packers without Jordan Love under center. Jets and Titans, this is also a good one. Jets didn't play terrible last week against the Niners. You know, it is the most talented team in the NFL, so you don't expect the Jets to win that one. But against the Titans, bit of a different story. Titans had the lead on the Bears last week and then collapsed completely. So I'm going to go Jets here. I think Aaron Rodgers has a bounce back game, tosses at least 250 yards, and I'm taking a Jets victory. Niners and Vikings, obviously we're going Niners here. Vikings had a good win last week, dominated the Giants, but that was the New York Giants. You want to see a switch up going from playing the New York Giants to all of a sudden playing the San Francisco 49ers in a span of 1 week? Yeah, good luck, Niners all day. Seahawks, Patriots. This is going to be an interesting one. I actually got a few buddies, Joey, Blake, Benny. Have fun at the game today, fellas. Should be a good one. I'm sorry, Benny. I'm going to go with Seahawks here because, frankly, I don't know how on earth the Patriots won last week. But who knows? Maybe they have some sort of dark voodoo magic in that locker room that'll carry over today. But either way, in my opinion, I'm going Seahawks. A couple more 1 o'clock games here. Giants, Commanders, and what's going to be a, well, it's going to be a game. Not going to say anything else. It will be a football game that is played today. I'm going to go Commanders. I think Jaden Daniels gets his first win as a NFL quarterback. Chargers, Panthers, also going to be a game that is played today. I'm going to go Chargers. Not much thought going into that one. Browns and Jaguars. This is an interesting matchup. Both teams 0-1, but again, teams with a lot of talent. I mean, Deshaun Watson did not play very well at all last week against the Cowboys. Jaguars lost a tough one. I'm going to go Jacksonville here to get their first win of the season. I think Trevor Lawrence has a bounce back game. And this Browns team is very perplexing because they have a lot of talent. The defense is great. They have good weapons. Once Nick Chubb comes back, if he comes back healthy, this team will be much different. But with the way Deshaun Watson played last week and with everything going on with him, I'm just not so sure that this Browns team has much of a chance in this one. So we're going Jaguars. Raiders and Ravens, obviously going Ravens. I mean, the Raiders, not a very great football team, still figuring out who their quarterback is going to be. Whoever they have now, Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, it's not going to be any of those guys. So I'm going Ravens here. I see them getting their first win of the season. Hopefully for me, we get maybe some Lamar Jackson touchdowns. A Derrick Henry touchdown would be nice. Maybe 5-6 receptions to Justice Hill. That would be very nice for me. Just saying. So let's go Baltimore today. Moving on to the 4 o'clock games. Rams, Cardinals, both coming into this one 0-1. I'm going to go Rams. I think the Rams simply have the better team. I know it was just announced that Puka Nacua is probably out for around 5 to 7 weeks. So that's a big blow to their offense. But Cooper Kupp had himself a great game. 110 yards and a touchdown last week. And the Cardinals I'm not going to say that the Cardinals are a bad team, but not so sure what's going on. I mean, they were up on the Bills for a while in week one and then blew it at the end, but they got to find a way to get Marvin Harrison Jr. going. One reception for 4 yards in his debut. This is a guy you took number 2 overall. You'd think that their offensive game plan would be tailored around getting him the ball more often throughout the game. So we'll see if something changes. It is in Arizona, so that may play a factor, but I'm still going Rams in this one to win on the road. Steelers, Broncos. Broncos don't impress me too much. I think Bo Nix is going to have some growing pains, but he still should be a pretty good quarterback when it's all said and done. But I'm still going Steelers. I really, really hope Pat Freiermuth can get me a touchdown in fantasy. He's not my starting tight end, but Jake Ferguson likely not playing for the Cowboys this week, so we're starting Freiermuth. The Steelers got to find a way to get the ball in the end zone, though. That's the big thing. They got to find a way to get in the end zone, because if they don't do that, they're not going to have the season many are expecting now that they finally have some competent starting quarterbacks. But we will see. Either way, going Steelers in this one to beat the Broncos. Bengals, Chiefs, our last 4 o'clock game. Wow. Part of me wants to say this is an easy choice, because obviously the Bengals losing to the Patriots is not a good look for them. Joe Burrow, to put it bluntly, Joe Burrow hasn't been a very good quarterback over the last year or so. Ever since that Super Bowl loss, he hasn't seemed to be the same quarterback. Now, sure, he's dealt with a lot of injuries, but in those games where he's been healthy, he hasn't looked the same since his second year when they went to the Super Bowl. Obviously, Joe Burrow is one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league, but he hasn't shown it lately. And losing to the Patriots is not the start to the season that anybody would have expected. And they're in Kansas City. They're at Arrowhead. So I think the obvious choice here is to go Chiefs. But it's one of those gut feelings where, you know, the Bengals have played their best when they're facing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the past. So don't be too surprised if the Bengals make this game competitive. I'm still going Chiefs to win at home. But I think the Bengals are going to have a big bounce back game. They are missing T. Higgins. But either way, I think the Bengals make this one at least competitive. I'm still going Chiefs to win, though. Bears and Texans, 8 o'clock on NBC/Peacock. Bears barely won last week. I mean, Caleb Williams played all right. He's definitely going to have some growing pains. No rookie quarterback is going to come in and be one of the best quarterbacks in the league right away. I don't care how good they played in college, how many Heismans you win, how many national championships, doesn't matter. The NFL is a completely different ballgame. And the Texans really cemented themselves last season as one of the better teams in the NFL, with C.J. Stroud having one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen from a quarterback. I think this is going to be another good game, but the Bears were barely able to escape with a victory against the Titans last week. They had a lot of things go their way in that comeback. For that reason, I think the Texans are just simply the better team, and I'm going to go Texans to start out the season 2-0. It's also in Houston, so that doesn't help in the Bears' favor. I'm going to go Texans to start off the season 2-0 and get themselves a relatively easy victory tonight over the Chicago Bears. The Monday night game, Falcons at Philadelphia facing the Eagles. Eagles had a pretty solid performance against Green Bay last week. I'm going to go Eagles in this one. Falcons, their offense just didn't look great against Pittsburgh last week. And granted, Pittsburgh has a great defense. The Eagles' defense isn't much worse. So they're also facing a great defense this week in Philadelphia. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point throughout the game, if Kirk Cousins is struggling again, we might see some Michael Penix action, because Kirk Cousins did not look the same last week as he has in years past. That'll wrap it up here for the NFL Week 2 matchups. Quick, we'll dive into the college football scores from yesterday. Not that many great games. Only 2 matchups within the top 25. Kansas State at 14, taking down number 20 Arizona, 31-7. Pretty easy victory for them there. Number 1, Georgia, barely escaping with a victory against Kentucky in what would have been a ridiculous upset had Kentucky somehow won that game. They had a chance, but Georgia holds on. They had a big stop to force Kentucky to a field goal that brought the game to a 1-point lead for Georgia, and the offense was able to hang on. So Georgia narrowly escaping with a victory. Texas destroys UTSA as Arch Manning comes in for Quinn Ewers, who left with an abdominal injury. So it looks like Texas is going to remain one of the top teams in the country. Alabama had a big win over Wisconsin, 42-10. Missouri, number 6, taking on Boston College at 24. Missouri narrowly escapes that one, 27-21, the victory. Tennessee beat Kent State 71-0. It was 65-0 at halftime. Tennessee only scored 6 points in the second half, and they still finished with 71. And LSU South Carolina is probably the last big game in the college football scene from yesterday. Oklahoma won. Notre Dame crushed Purdue. Nebraska got a win. But LSU, South Carolina, the only real big game of the weekend that's left. LSU narrowly escapes with a 36-33 victory as South Carolina misses the game-tying field goal at the end of the game. South Carolina also had a pick six waved off in this game for what some people are saying was a pretty soft penalty on the return. Looked like a pretty clean block on the LSU quarterback while South Carolina was returning that pick six. So, big difference maker in that game was that penalty getting called off. South Carolina's going to have a pretty bitter taste in their mouth next time they take on LSU. And while we're talking football, obviously, since we are in the Capital Region, we'll dive into the UAlbany Great Danes game from yesterday. Not much to say. They were out in Idaho taking on the Vandals, who they defeated last year in the CAA semifinals. And, well, excuse me, the FCS semifinals. And it was just not a good game for UAlbany. It was just bad. 41-13 the final. Excuse me, it was the quarterfinal last year in the FCS playoffs where UAlbany came from behind for a 30-22 win in Idaho at the Kibbe Dome. And let's just say that the Idaho Vandals and their fans remembered that game because they were amped up. They were absolutely hooting and hollering at the UAlbany Great Danes. And this game just wasn't even close. It was just from the beginning, Idaho took control. UAlbany struggled to get anything going on either side of the ball, offense and defense. And, you know, now UAlbany coming up on a bye week here. Then you return back home to Casey Stadium to take on Maine in Hometown Heroes Night. You hope that you get a better showing from the Great Danes in that one. I mean, UAlbany had more passing yards than the Vandals in this game, but 60 yards on the ground on 33 carries, averaging under 2 yards per carry, did the Great Danes. That's just not winning football. It's not winning football at all. And obviously, Coach Gattuso is going to be looking at film from this game with a disgusted look on his face. But they'll learn a thing or two, and we'll see if UAlbany can come back from this, coming back home after a bye, September 28th at Casey Stadium, Hometown Heroes Night versus Maine. Be sure to get out there, show your support for the Great Danes as, well, they're going to need it after that butt-kicking they just took from the Idaho Vandals.
Go Great Danes!
When we come back, we'll dive into the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond, like we do every Sunday morning on The Hot Seat. Stay tuned. It's your host, Vinny Fredericks, on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Vinny Fredericks from The Hot Seat here, and if you want to be up to date with when episodes are going to come out, when it's going to be live on air on 104.5 The Team, and if you want to see clippings and snippets of interviews and other on-air moments from my time here with 104.5 The Team, follow my social media accounts at VFreds Media, at VFREDDS Media on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and more to stay up to date on everything and all things Hot Seat and more.
It's The Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Day and night. We are back here on The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, on a fine Sunday morning, right around 11:40. We're getting to these headlines a little bit late, but it's all right. We'll get to them. Don't you worry. You know what time it is. Time for the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. As it has been a busy weekend so far across the board in practically every sport, there's just no shortage of topics to talk about. You got baseball wrapping up, NFL and NCAA football just getting into gear. You got WNBA getting close to playoff time. And obviously, it looks like we're having a bit of a live radio moment as my laptop crashed on me. Here we go. It's all right. Don't worry. We'll get this going here as all the headlines that I was going to dive into here have suddenly disappeared on me. But don't worry. We'll get them right back. This is the great thing about technology. We got laptops right in our pockets. We got phones. It's all good. as we'll dive into this here. We'll try this again. It's time for the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. And we'll start with a sport that I admittedly don't follow too closely, the UFC. There's a big fight last night, obviously a big card. Anytime you have Sean O'Malley fighting, it's going to be big news. People are going to tune in. I do enjoy watching UFC. It's one of those things where if I'm, you know, hanging out with the boys and they throw it on, I'm locked in, I'm loving it, I'm enjoying it. But I never remember when it's going on, so I never tune in as much as I should. Didn't get a chance to watch the fights last night, but from what I'm seeing here, it was a memorable one. As you think Sean O'Malley, he was a lock. I know a lot of people that had bets placed on Sean O'Malley to win and retain his championship. That was not the case, as it was Merab. I'm going to apologize in advance for my pronunciation of this last name. Dvalishvili, as he had an emphatic end to the Sugar Show, defeating Sugar Sean O'Malley to claim the UFC bantamweight title Saturday night in the main event of the UFC fight night at the Sphere in Las Vegas. Merab had constant movement, 6 takedowns, and just over 10 minutes of control, which was enough to befuddle and prevent Sean O'Malley from getting any of his powerful punches off. And it was a unanimous decision, as I mentioned, to hand Merab the championship off Sean O'Malley's waist. Great fight, I'm sure. Unfortunately, I didn't get the chance to watch it, but I think a lot of people were surprised that Sean O'Malley wasn't able to retain his championship in what is any time that Sean O'Malley, being one of the big stars of the UFC, people are going to tune in, and I'm sure there was a lot of disappointed sports bettors out there that lost out on him, you know, not winning and retaining his championship. Moving on here, I mentioned the Dolphins-Bills game earlier on. The Bills absolutely routing the Dolphins, an easy victory. But unfortunately, the big story coming out of that game is not how well the Bills played. It is about the current state of Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, who suffered yet another concussion, his third in his pro NFL career, in what was another ugly one. In good news, he's scheduled to meet with some neurologists early this week, as he will be seeking their input into the severity of his latest concussion and, you know, the effect of all the ones that he suffered in the past, as he will be hoping to make the most informed decision possible about his future. If you saw the play, you know, I'm not going to go too into detail about how it wasn't, you know, a very blatant hard hit. You know, if anything, Tua was trying to run into Damar Hamlin to extend the play. Damar, you know, he wasn't delivering a earth-shattering hit stick on Tua, but it was just an awkward angle that Tua's head hit Damar's chest at. And yeah, Tua, you saw him lying on the ground. There was clearly something wrong. And at this point, I'm obviously no neurologist. I don't know the state of Tua Tagovailoa's brain at this point, but at some point you have to start thinking that this is bigger than football. You know, this is this man's future with his family and the rest of his life. Obviously, we've seen the effects that big blows to the head can have on NFL stars, and how in some cases it can completely change them and ruin their lives. So it's good news that Tua is seeking out expert opinions and hopefully will make the best decision for him and his family. Obviously, Mike McDaniel told him, you know, he's the starting quarterback of his family right now. Obviously, for Dolphin fans, you hate to lose your quarterback, but just as a football fan in general, we know it can be a very violent and dangerous sport at times. And with his history, you know, 3 concussions in 3 years, that is not something to play with. So I would not be surprised if Tua decided to hang up the cleats after this season. Obviously, he just got extended, got a big payday from the Dolphins, but with the way that his career has gone and the amount of concussions he's dealt with, it wouldn't be safe for him to continue playing if this is just going to keep getting worse. Obviously, that isn't what he wants. You know, he's a competitor. Nobody wants to be told, listen, you got to stop. But again, at what point does this become no longer about football and about how present he wants to be with his family, his wife and kids in the future, and how he wants to live the rest of his life? So rough news coming out of that Bills and Dolphins game, obviously. But in some good news, Tagovailoa is hopefully, you know, going to make the best decision for him after meeting with some neurologists early this week. Speaking of football news and more injuries, sorry to all the Christian McCaffrey fantasy owners out there. He is officially on IR and will miss the next 4 games with calf soreness and Achilles tendonitis. As I mentioned, he's going to miss at least the next 4 games, and he's not eligible to return until October 10th. When the Niners take on the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday Night Football, although that still is not a guarantee that he will be back. And I will say, I maybe should have considered trading for Jordan Mason. I got offered Mason and Isaiah Likely for T. Higgins. Maybe I should have taken it, because now I'm not so sure I made the right decision. I'm thinking I need T. Higgins as my flex once he comes back from injury. And my running back room is pretty bad. But hopefully Raheem Mostert picks things up at some point. Hopefully Nick Chubb comes back healthy and they can complement Derrick Henry pretty well. But as I mentioned earlier on in the show, I don't love my fantasy team this year. So I guess we'll see if I make any trades, if anything happens. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing in fantasy this year. But then again, I had a pretty rough start to last year's season too, and then things started to turn around. So we'll have to wait and see. But hopefully Christian McCaffrey is back on the field soon, because I know anybody that drafted McCaffrey, you drafted him within the top 3 picks in your league, and it just kills your season to see him out. But hey, as long as he's back for playoffs, that is all that matters. Moving on to the WNBA here, as rookie phenom Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever breaks the WNBA single season assist record this past Friday night in a loss to the 2-time defending champion Las Vegas Aces, a tight one, 78-74, Clark recorded her 317th assist of the season with 5 minutes left in the second quarter on an assist to Kelsey Mitchell, who scored on a layup, when she passed Alyssa Thomas of the Connecticut Sun's 316 assists from last season. Clark went on to finish the game with 9 assists, giving her 321 total on the season. So Caitlin Clark having a historic rookie year, the clear frontrunner for rookie of the year, as Angel Reese is obviously out for the rest of the season with a wrist injury. I mean, this has just been a record-setting WNBA season in general. You have MVP frontrunner Asia Wilson setting a record for points scored in a season this past week. You have Angel Reese, who set a WNBA record for rebounds and double-doubles. And now you have Caitlin Clark setting the assist record. All we can say is that the WNBA is in good hands. There's a lot of talent around the WNBA, and it's only going to keep on getting better when you have women like Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins entering the league soon when they're done with college ball. So the WNBA is in exciting times, and I for one am very excited for this year's playoffs, because who knows? I mean, the Indiana Fever, they're making the playoffs. They started off the season pretty rough, but they started to figure some things out, so I you never know. They might be a dark horse team to end up potentially winning the WNBA championship. It's going to be a tough road, but they do have one of the most talented players in the entire league, so we'll have to see. A little bit of college football news here to wrap things up. This one's more for me, because as you guys obviously have heard, I'm a big Florida Gators fan, and the Florida Gators just absolutely stink this year. A lot of college football teams in Florida are just awful this season. If you would have told me that the Gators and the Florida State Seminoles were going to start the season 1-5 combined, I would have told you were crazy. But Florida is off to a 1-2 start to the season after getting dominated by Texas A&M. Florida State obviously off to an 0-3 start after losing to Georgia Tech. And I forget who they played in week 2, but just yesterday losing to Memphis. Just an awful, awful start to the season for both teams. And at this point in time, it seems like Billy Napier's time as head coach in Florida, in Gainesville, is maybe coming to an end soon, as he had a little pre-recorded message that went on during halftime and the fans just absolutely booed the heck out of him. They wanted no seeing of him. You know, the entire fan base is sick of this guy at head coach, as Florida just looked inept on both sides of the ball and completely overmatched for the second time this season. Both of those games where they played awful being in the swamp at home. Obviously, you get crushed week one, and now, sure, you beat a Samford team that really you should have crushed either way, but you get crushed by Miami and now by Texas A&M. And it's not like Texas A&M was a ranked team going into this game. This was an unranked matchup for both teams. And the fans are, me, myself included, I'm sick of Billy Napier. I mean, what are we doing? Napier is 12-16 at Florida with 12 losses in his past 15 games against Power Conference opponents. He's 10-6 at Florida Field, giving him more losses at home in the swamp in 2+ seasons. This is his third year. He has more losses at home in those 2 and some change seasons than Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer had in their entire careers as Florida head coach. Steve Spurrier went 68-5 at home, Urban Meyer 35-5. And Billy Napier already has more losses than both of those legendary coaches at home.
I gotta get security. I want this man out of my sight right here. Get him out of here. He's got no place in here. Get rid of him, okay?
Billy Napier needs to go. I saw a notification yesterday from ESPN, which blew my mind, that high-ranking Florida boosters have gathered roughly $26 million to cover Billy Napier's buyout. I have never seen anything like that in my life, that the boosters for your college are trying to raise money to tell the school to fire the coach, saying, you know, we understand you got him under contract. We will pay to buy him out and get a new coach in here. That's how much this guy stinks. That's my rant on Billy Napier and the Florida Gators' awful start to the season. If DJ Lagway isn't the starting quarterback next week, I might just be done with the Gators for this year. All right, when we come back, I'll dive into my fantasy football matchup. I already told you guys I'm not very confident, but I'll tell you who I'm starting, who I need a big week from, and who I'm going up against when the hot seat returns right here on 104.5 The Team, and that free 104.5 The Team app. Stay with us. Vinny Fredericks here from the hot seat, just wanting to say thank you. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Or if you're listening live on 104.5 The Team every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, we appreciate it very much here. And it's because of listeners like you that I continue to do this and follow my dreams. So thank you again for listening and for being a supporter of the Hot Seat and 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Be on the lookout for new episodes throughout the week and for the live airings every Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
And we are back here on the hot seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks. Coming to the close here, as it has been a great Sunday morning. Thank you all for tuning in. I will say one of my favorite things is during these commercial breaks, hopping in my phone, going into the group chat I have with the boys where we talk sports and just seeing the guys being like, yeah, good coverage. You know, yeah, we love hearing you talk that talk. And it's just awesome. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Obviously, you know, my mom and girlfriend are at home listening right now. Appreciate you guys as well. And everybody else out there, Uncle Bill, I know you're still tuned in. Thank you, good sir. And it's, you know, all the support really means the world. And it's one of the reasons why I enjoy what I do so much. I said we were going to dive into some fantasy football here, and I don't feel too great about my matchup this week. I need a big game from the Baltimore Ravens, as I'm currently starting Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and Justice Hill. Starting two running backs from the same team, I feel never goes well, but you know, Derrick Henry had a touchdown last week. He's obviously my number one. And Justice Hill had a solid outing. Only one carry, but he got 11 points because he had six receptions. And if he gets anywhere from that, you know, 5 to 8 receptions, I'll take that. Because that is a solid game. In a PPR league, I will take that any day of the week. Any running back that gets a lot of receptions is going to get you a good amount of points in your fantasy matchup. I need a big game from CeeDee Lamb. Definitely need a touchdown out of him. Jalen Waddle got me 8.5 on Thursday night. An okay game, but I need more. I mentioned I need Pat Freiermuth of the Pittsburgh Steelers and need a touchdown out of him. Christian Watson from the Green Bay Packers, hoping Malik Willis can get him the ball a good amount. He had a big touchdown for me last week. Still ended up losing. And then I got Browns defense going up against Jacksonville. So hopefully they hold Trevor Lawrence to not too much. And Harrison Butker, the Chiefs kicker. So I need some field goals from the Chiefs. We're 0-1 right now. Got smoked last week. I'm not projected to win right now. I'm currently projected to lose by, you know, 20 points. My opponent's got Aaron Rodgers, Saquon, Kyron Williams, Sam Laporta, George Pickens, a lot of Debo Samuel, a lot of talent out there for my opponent. So we'll see if I win. I'll be sure to let you guys know next week if I make a trade, if anything happens, if you know, I'm still feeling as terrible as I am right now about this fantasy season for myself. That'll put the close here on this week's airing of The Hot Seat. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to tune in this upcoming week as we obviously got Big Board Sports, The Drive. We got a little bit of late night shows going in between The Drive and nighttime baseball when the Yankees are playing from 7 to 9. That'll be on Tuesday and Wednesday with myself and my guy Joey Polotsky. Be sure to tune in for that. And of course, be here next Sunday when The Hot Seat continues with your host, Vinny Fredericks. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a great Sunday. Stay safe out there, and goodbye.